All right, everybody. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Skydive Liberation. We're the Splash Bros. I'm Kyler.
I'm Jacob Patty.
We're here with Drew Beach, our audio engineer. Our video engineer, Farrell, is not here with us today. He's got some stuff going on, so he's not with us right now.
He's got some rigging shit.
Yeah. But we did bring Admiral Byrd back. He's going to help us out with this episode a little bit, talk about some stuff. We'll get into it in just a minute. Yeah. So, Splash Bros, bringing you another episode. We're going to get right into it.
Well, you know, first I always like to say, check us out on social media if you can.
Yep. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram.
Facebook. We have a link tree. All that's going to be in this description below. Check us out. We also have a Patreon. So if you're interested in supporting us, we do have two subscriptions there. So check that out, please.
And we've even got some stuff in the works. We've been talking. And, you know, the more we're growing and the more you guys are listening to us, we love it so much. We can't thank you guys enough for listening to us. So we do have some stuff, ideas that we're throwing around.
We got some fun secrets coming.
Yeah, there's some good stuff that's going to be coming out here in the next little bit. So today's topic, boogies.
Yeah, we're going back to the 80s.
All right, so I guess a good spot to start is, what is a boogie?
Yeah.
So
Ryan,
let's hit with you, Ryan, because Jacob and I have never been to a boogie yet. Tell us about your experience.
Boogies are extremely fun, so I've actually worked through two boogies. One was at the Skydiving Company, Texas, when we had a boogie there, along with down in the Skydive Space in San Marcos. I was working there as a packer throughout the boogie. It was pretty hectic on the packing floor, definitely, for sure, having just tens of parachutes coming in at every load. It gets pretty intense on the floor, but then 4th of July boogie down in Dallas, that was wonderful as well, being able to go out with Tasha and being able to go out with another skydiver named Blair. He was all into wingsuiting. He was able to get into a good group of experienced wingsuiters and able to just kind of further his education there. Just going into boogies itself, you know, you get to experience kind of like the intense chaos that goes on, because it's not just a normal week, and it's there's more fun jumpers, there's more customers coming out there, there's just a whole lot more going on, different free fly groups, there's different angle groups, there's wingsuiters, there's a whole lot more tandems going on that day, and it's just awesome being on the ground. If you were to sit out on a load and just see all 23 parachutes coming down out of the twin otter load, or even the caravan loads, or even if they have two twin otters going up at the same time and seeing like 46 canopies all flying down at the same time, you're just like, wow. You just look up in the sky and you're like, I can't believe there's all these skydivers coming down at the same moment, just trying not to run into each other. And you're on the ground, you're like, these guys are way too close for comfort. There's no way.
Yeah, that sounds fucking wild. I can't wait. We're going to go to the Fitzgerald Patrick boogie. But simply put, you know, I've heard a boogie, the way you describe a boogie, skydivers describe it, it's basically just a big fucking party where you go and you skydive all fucking day, and then at night, you just party all night.
Right, you've got hundreds and hundreds of people from across the country, maybe even some people from around the world
that are
coming to
big names in the sport.
Yeah, some big names. Farrell was saying that there's probably going to be some huge, huge legends coming down.
Some shredders.
Like Jacob talked about, this next weekend, actually, we are planning on going down to Fitzgerald, Georgia. There's a boogie there, and it's one of the biggest of the year. And it's going to be Jacob and I's pre-second one. I'm super, super stoked. Again, never been to one, so it'll be really, really good to get immersed in that and to meet some new people. And so for you guys, what we're planning to do and what we're trying to get into the works right now is doing a live podcast.
Yeah.
Down at the boogie.
Yeah, and you know, that might work out. It might just end up being just a normal recording.
Right.
It depends what we have available, because, you know, boogies are not cheap.
No, they're not.
When you plan it, you know, there's going to be like a $60 admission, but then on that, you got to pay for your tickets, and like, there's other ways to supplement that money, and we'll talk about that here in a second. I have a couple questions for Ryan.
Right.
But, you know, if I'm going to a boogie, I pack at the Chattanooga Skydiving Company, I work there. If I'm going to a boogie, I'm gonna fucking have fun. I'm not gonna be working.
Yeah, we're there for you know, a good time and to get some jumps in and stuff.
And experience and getting to know people in the sport, you know, that's the best way you can do it.
Yeah, exactly.
You can pack for some of these guys who are world champions. They're going to break. Are they planning on breaking a world record there?
Yeah, so another thing they're actually planning on doing, as far as I'm aware, is they're trying to break the world, the women's world record for a naked skydive jump. Yeah, so that's maybe another reason we're going, maybe not. no, but it's really, from what I've been told, I'm super stoked, and it sounds so exciting just to be able to finally go to one of these.
And we actually know someone who's going to be a part of that. And
yeah, we do.
She just started jumping like a year and a half ago, and yep, she's going to be a part of a world fucking record. That is inspirational.
That's huge, you know?
Yeah, it's Abigail.
Yeah, yeah. So. And we've shouted her out before on the podcast.
I don't know if we have, but Abigail, she's at the Chattanooga Skydiving Company. She's amazing. She was back flying like around 25 jumps and stuff. She has some amazing footage of her in Egypt.
Good stuff. So kind of like Jacob was saying, there's other ways to potentially help kind of finance being there or at least going there. You know, like Jacob was saying, they're not super, super cheap. Tickets are going to be, I think for this one, it's if you get it online.
Like 60, 65. I don't even know if I'll be able to get them online. I might have to like pay for them that day, yeah, but I don't know how you register. We got to look into that.
Yeah, I think it's like $15 extra if you get it while you're there.
Which is reasonable.
Yeah, and then I'm sure
you know, the whole point of it, registering early, the whole thing about boogies is just one big party, you know? Everyone's working together. It's almost like a festival, like going to Bonnaroo.
That's a really good way to put it. It is like a festival, but for skydivers.
Yeah, and it's very similar vibes,
yep,
you know? So everyone's, like, partying. Everyone's, like, hanging out. You're meeting new people. You're trying new things. You're getting to know people. You know, you might have something someone else needs. They might have something you need, you know? It's all just, like, a little adventure.
Yeah, and all in all, you're having, you know, a good time with a bunch of like-minded individuals and everything.
Yeah, so they recommend you register prehand so that they can prepare and know exactly who's going to be there, and that way they can make it the best possible thing for you.
Right.
Yeah, and not just that. You can actually, they'll have tons of booths there. They'll have most of the rig companies there. You'll have Sunpat there. Most likely you'll have Vector. You'll have all Curve. Possibly Curve. You'll have all of the kind of franchises out there with all their booth setups, so you'll be able to go and kind of start a conversation with them. Kind of if you're interested in buying some new gear or equipment, you'll be able to find that there. It's pretty easily available. Along with, I'm sure there'll be kind of some camera flyers kind of out there filming all of the jumps that for all the fun jumpers out there.
Well, I know that's what Justin's doing. Justin's going down there because he was asked specifically to help film the women's jump.
Yeah, that world record.
I can't imagine being a videographer for some of these world record jumps. That would be absolutely insane. Just going strictly out for a boogie and being able just to film everybody's fun. You know, that's your job while you're there, is just to make sure and capture all the wonderful footage for everybody, just all the cool moments you have that will honestly be able to post on a timeline and be able to remember it for forever. You know, you can't really pass that up.
Yeah, and you know, that's something I kind of want to talk about, because I was nervous about this. So I only have 84 jumps, and that is something I was like, oh, I can't even fly camera yet. Is it? I mean, I can free fly and I can do some of this stuff, but like, am I really ready to jump with these guys who have been doing it for years and years and years and actually have this experience and time?
How the fuck you think I feel? I only got 43 damn jumps.
Yeah, so it's like, am I even worthy to start like going with these people? Because when you're talking about baby birds, that's some baby fucking bird shit, you know?
It is, but like we've talked about before about community and everything, I feel like, you know, once you're there, it's like, yeah, you're flying with some legends that are around, but...
like gods in the sport, you know?
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, everybody in the skydiving community is really cool. It's like, it's not about how many jump numbers you have. Nobody really gives a shit.
Yeah, and even Farrell was saying, it's like, he went, before he went to that boogie down in Z Hills, the Thanksgiving boogie, it was sort of like a leveling up. Like, you're going, you're getting all this fucking experience that you haven't get. Because you get a ton of experience working at your DZ and, like, jumping at your DZ from all the people who work there. But then you just get it, like, double fold going in, and you're, like, working with these people who have been in for years everywhere across the world, and you're just gaining so much knowledge, and you're doing jumps that you wouldn't really be able to do, you know, at a normal DZ, because there's just so many fucking skydivers and fun jumpers. You're able to do big ways, 10 ways, 15 ways, just fucking crazy shit. You know, like, the biggest way I've done is a 7-way. And that was insane for me, you know. But there's just this so... It's intimidating. So I, you know, I'm pushing myself to go out and do this. And that's something we always love to fucking talk on this podcast.
Yeah.
Stepping out of your comfort zone.
Right. And that's what... If you could boil skydiving down to really just a few things, like getting out of that comfort zone and pushing through, you know, I guess the door monster, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, it's, people monster, if you're nervous about meeting all these fucking gods, you know?
It's all about breaking out of that comfort zone, like Jacob said, and doing different things and trying different things and pushing yourself to become not only a better skydiver, but just you know, better at who you are, because it will make a difference. And you're really getting to meet other people, and you're getting out there, and there's no telling what kind of information you could gain while you're there, what kind of people you could end up meeting, and the network you'll gain from it. And just probably even become a better flyer, because there's so much information you can learn from these people while you're there, you know?
Yeah, so, like, let's say, you know, you only have 25 jumps. You hear about a boogie, and you're like, I don't know if I'm ready for this. Just fucking go, dude. Just fucking do it, because, you know, you can sit and talk about it all day. You can sit and talk, like, oh, am I good enough? Oh, can we do this? You just need to do it at some point. Like, you know, Nike, just do it. But it's a little cliche, but when else are you going to do it?
Yeah.
When else are you going to get better?
Right.
Just do it. You know, nobody's going to be good at first. I was talking with Bree about this the other day. She sent me a video of someone in the tunnel flying around, and it was like Jordan Peterson or something talking. Like, everybody sucks at first. And the people who, if you aren't trying something... Of course you're not going to be good at it first. So why even fucking expect you to be good at it? You have to fucking suck. You have to suck so badly. And that's how it was with skydiving, getting to 84 jumps right now. Like, I sucked so bad, and I still do suck. But, you know, it's just starting to suck less. And as you start sucking less, you start having more fun, and you start being proud of yourself. So yeah. go to the boogie. If honestly, come to this boogie.
Yeah,
we want to meet you. You better be there.
Come meet us again. We want to do our own podcast while we're there.
You'll be a part of it if you're you know, you're there and talking with us.
We want to dive into the sport as much as possible, and this is really good for us. And it'd be really
dive into the sport as much as possible. Right out the door.
Dive right out the door. And you know, we're trying to build our network. We're trying to meet people, and I think most of all, we're just trying to be better flyers and better skydivers in the sport.
And not only that, trying to be better people.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that goes hand in hand. When you start pursuing your career and your dreams, and that's just what a boogie is. Everyone's just in love with the sport. They're like, this is my life. This is my passion. I eat, breathe, sleep, shit, skydiving, you know?
I hope I don't shit while I skydive.
I've been close. Sometimes when you're in the plane like that and you know, you get a good rip, there's some nasty ass farts. You gotta crack the, and when you're in the back like that, you know, everyone's squished together. You might just get ass to your face, and you might just get a good whiff of fart. And you just gotta crack the door, let the skydiver air conditioning work its magic.
The skydive air conditioner. Ryan, why don't you tell us a little bit more about your experience from your boogies?
So, my first actual boogie was...
Your what?
Oh, that's beer.
Is that a beer moment? That was a beer moment.
Ooh, that's close. Technically, we're not at a DZ.
Yeah, being a skydiver, never say the word first. It's very bad. You end up owing beer.
We covered this in our first timers in beer episode.
Say FR apostrophe ST pre-second. Yeah. Pre-zero jump.
Yeah. It's Numero all right, Ryan. Uno. I remember my first time.
Dem ersten Spring.
That doesn't count. That doesn't count. You can't go to a different language because it's still...
Der ersten Spring. I don't... Ich weiß nicht.
Okay, fine. So we'll go to my third boogie that I actually was able to fun jump and participate in, which was in Skydive Spaceland, Dallas. So we showed up, and our first... We showed up on a Friday, and our first jump was actually out of the helicopter. We decided to do a helicopter jump. That was really fun. Honestly, the pilot, he had us in for a ride. I remember just being there watching the first helicopter load come off, and the helicopter just banks a right turn over the trees, and I was just sitting there watching, and I was like, wow, okay. I was like, this helicopter is flying pretty low to the ground on takeoff. This is going to be fun. So about 30 minutes later, the helicopter lands, and we all board. There was four of us. It was me, Tasha, Blair, and then another fun jumper that was just filling in the extra slot on the helicopter. So we're on the ride up to altitude. All right, let me take that back. So we take off, and the pilot does a right bank over the trees. And I was like, okay, this is pretty cool. I was holding on. I was like, this is pretty scary.
Some Vietnam shit.
Yeah, I decided to let go, and then we're just kind of cruising along the ground. And then the pilot proceeds to do a left bank and then a right bank turn. And we're like... From my perspective, the blades are like skimming the top of the tree, and then I was just like, okay, this pilot's really giving us a ride. We're in for it. And I was okay.
You're getting like Vietnam flashbacks even though you weren't there.
Well, no, some of these, that's something like sure. 80s, 90s. These guys were fucking Vietnam fucking helicopter pilots.
Yeah, it was wonderful. And then the ride up, you know, we're just kind of flying, hovering, what it felt like, just right next to the clouds. You know, it was a little cold being closer to the clouds, but it was very cool. Just kind of, just the perspective of just being able to be right next to the clouds. You know, we're used to being on the ground, and not a lot of people are able to actually experience what it's like to be right next to a cloud, just kind of getting that visual perception of what clouds really are. And so we go up to altitude, we leave, and... I did my first swoop on that landing at Skydive Dallas. That was very wonderful. And honestly, it was a very powerful moment being able to swoop by all the people on cross brace sub 100 canopies while I was on my Katana 120. It was, and just seeing them all turn and look at me right as I flew right by them was very empowering. I was like, you know what? You can be on a big canopy and you can do the same stuff that all of these experienced flyers are doing. And it's kind of eye-opening perspective, you know, just kind of the whole process of learning and getting to where you are now. But then fast forward, you know, so we ended up meeting with some of the other fun jumpers there at the DZ. We went to go eat at a local pizza restaurant, just kind of getting used to the other fun jumpers there, building friendships, just starting conversations, just learning more about each other. And then the next morning we wake up and it's... First load, 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning. Everybody's there.
Did you even sleep last night?
Oh, I tried to get some sleep, but you know, you're just so excited just to kind of see what the next day has in store. You know, all the people there, you're just, your mind's kind of on edge. Okay, what jumps am I going to do? What am I going to do in the sky of these next 10 jumps that you can potentially get on the boogie? Though there's so many loads going up. Most of the time they have 2-3 planes going up, just to make sure everybody gets their rotations in. I think I actually ended up doing about 7 skydives there. Me, I did all 7 solos. I'm not going to lie, I wasn't partaking in really any big jumps with anybody, because the two people I traveled with, they were wingsuiters, and so they were all in the wingsuiting group, and I was just kind of there just wanting to get used to the lay of the land, per se.
And you were packing, right?
Not at the Skydive Dallas boogie, but I was packing and working for Skydive Spaceland San Marcos. And honestly, being a packer in the midst of all the chaos of a boogie is insane. It's like throughout the day, this the whole wall of the room is just stacked 4 parachutes high right next to each other. There's probably 50, 60 parachutes just all laying around the room just waiting to be packed up. It's pretty chaotic.
That's some good fucking money right there.
It's good money, but it's a lot of busy work for sure.
All right, so I got a question real quick. So as somebody who was doing packing there, realistically, how much money could you make while you do it? And then to follow it up, I have a second question in what was it costing you to be part of the boogie?
So being a part of the boogie, as far as being staff, since you're already there at the drop zone, you don't have to pay anything, or I didn't have to pay anything to be a part of the boogie. If there was a spot on the load, I was able to get on it, but I chose to just stay on the ground. But typically packing, you know, a lot of the fun jumpers for boogies, they will tip a little bit extra just because the faster you get their rig packed, the faster they get on the load. So the fun jumpers and just staff, camera flyers, everybody, they do appreciate that, just being able to, they really do appreciate your help on just being able to get on that next load. So let's say I typically charge $7 for a fun jumper pack job, and they'll probably tip you anywhere from $14, so it's at least doubled, or sometimes they'll tip you $21, which is even better. You know, they really appreciate your help on being able to get them up in the air.
Screw that, I'm only giving you $8.
See, that's why I asked for 10. I asked for the flat 10. I don't want to gamble whether I'm going to get 7 or 14. I just want the 10 bucks, bro.
I wouldn't do that to Ryan.
Yeah.
I would say, you know, the cash payout's pretty nice that the fun jumpers give you. I would say on a Saturday of a busy boogie, including tandem, students, fun jumper, pack jobs, you're probably looking around making at least $1,000, if not more, just for that one day. You know, there's just the capacity of all the tandem rigs and just parachutes coming in general. It's nonstop until from 7:30 a.m. in the morning from the first load going up, and we're still packing till 10 o'clock at night, 10:30, just making sure we can get all the rigs back to the owners or back to the company that's supplying all the rigs.
Yeah, but packing like that is not fucking easy. It is not. That is not an easy $1,000 if you are going through hell. Oh, it's a lot of fun,
because all the other packers, all we do is just crack jokes to each other the whole time. We're listening to music and, you know,
punch the canopies, yell at them.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun just being part of the packing community.
I think we have different definitions of fun.
I was going to say, the more I hang out with Ryan, the more I think he might be not okay in the head. Because I fucking hate packing.
I think he had some too deep impacts, you know. Jarred him a little bit. Likes packing. Yeah.
Besides Admiral Bird, what else did they call you there, Ryan?
Deep Impact Bird.
And why is that, Ryan?
Yeah, why don't we go into that a little bit?
So, Halloween night, October 21st.
Right off the bat.
Halloween night. And unfortunately, my USPA renewal for my membership is on Halloween night every year.
Jesus.
I get that friendly reminder. It's like, hey, are you sure you want to commit to another year of skydiving? Because it's just like, hey, remember what happened Halloween night 2020? It's just like, yeah, I remember, and I'm ready to continue this, jump back on the horse, and get to back to riding.
So what happened? What happened?
So I was on a Stiletto 135. I had probably put about 14 jumps on this canopy. Fun story about the canopy. It was actually Roger Nelson's demo canopy.
Holy shit.
For those of y'all that don't know about Roger Nelson, definitely look into him on the internet. His daughter helped publish his books. One is called, Sugar Alpha, and the other book is Charlie Bravo. Just kind of about the expeditions that Roger Nelson took a part of while he was building Skydive Chicago, and how the drop zone itself got to where it is today. It's a very fascinating story I'm not going to talk too much about on here just because of kind of all what it contains, but definitely look into it. It's definitely interesting story about a very famous skydiver and just the story of how he got the big drop zone to where it is today and the fleet of aircraft that he also owns as well.
Yeah, so how'd you get the name Deep Impact?
Okay, so Deep Impact. So back to Roger Nelson's demo canopy, so 135. I probably shouldn't have committed to jumping that canopy for my first night. My jump number 147. I actually remember, being in the hangar with all the lights off just to adjust our eyes for our night jump. And I told my best friend Max that I had flown down to visit. And I was like, you know, I really wish I was on my 150 square foot canopy instead of the 135 just to be safer. And, you know, I was flying a canopy that I wasn't really comfortable with and knowing all the ins and outs on how it flies. And so I leave the plane, and the one rule they told us on the ground was to not do any spirals under canopy. Well, me being me, I was like, let's do spirals under canopy. So
on a fucking night jump.
Yeah, night jump. I left the plane. I was flying on my back, and I was just.
I was first one.
I remember just looking up at the stars and being like, "This is the closest thing to space I'll ever get to on Earth." I was like, "This is amazing." I went back to belly, then I was like, "You know, belly isn't fun." I went back to my back, and then eventually it came time to deploy the parachute. And I remember seeing Trevin below me, and I was like, you know, let's go catch up to Trevin. And so, of course, me being me, I did a few spirals, you know, losing altitude because we all had our planned deployment altitudes. And coming into the landing pattern, I noticed myself being a little too low. So my options were I can either go straight and possibly land on the cars or in front of the cars, lighten up the landing area, or I could do a slow kind of curved turn and possibly collide with Trevin. And given the idea that all three decisions happened within a second and a half, it was like the first half second was I'm gonna hit the cars, the second half second was I'm possibly gonna collide with my friend Trevin, possibly take out two of us, and out of nowhere, just instinct, the third half second I just toggle with the stiletto at probably 100 feet.
Oh, Jesus.
And that canopy
on
went
135.
That canopy went straight into a dive, and I just remember throwing my right leg behind my left leg and just hitting the ground straight hip to earth. And I remember just laying there, and next thing you know, I'm surrounded by 15 flashlights. Kind of was like a surreal moment. Kind of felt like you're like getting like abducted or something by some aliens. Or just, you can't see any faces.
It's already Halloween. Yeah, you're like, what the fuck is happening?
Face, and I was like, oh my, and they came up to me, and the helmet I was wearing was actually a helmet I'd never worn before. It was like the Phantom helmet that my buddy Max had, and I couldn't breathe out of it whatsoever. So I remember people started coming up to me, and I started just banging on the helmet saying I can't breathe, and they eventually took the helmet off, and I was like, okay, guys, I was like, I can't move my right leg. And so they were like, well, don't move your head. It was like, you may have a broken back or neck. And so, also me being me, I just remember just lifting my head up and started shaking my head. And I was like, my
what
head's okay.
I was like,
my right leg's
fine.
The only thing that hurts. I was like, just get me out of here.
Your fucking heart stops.
Yeah. And then they were like, you want a helicopter or an ambulance? I was like, no, I'm okay. I was like, just load me up in the van and take me to the hospital. So they pull out a little stretcher, like a backboard, load me up on the backboard. And honestly, one part I remember, there was a tandem instructor, his name was Ruslan, and he came up to me, and with the side door of the van open, he just kind of gave me, like, the rock on, you know, hand signal, and I just remember looking, and I gave it back to him. In my mind, I was like, I'll be okay. I was like, if he's that confident, I'm that confident. And so then we took the 45-minute ride to the College Station hospital, where I then was by the coolest doctor. He just walked in, he was like, all right, I'm going to get you really high, inject you with some drugs, and you'll be all right. And I said, okay, let's do it. And then my friend was actually talking to me. He said, I was talking about getting, like, the Star Crest recipient, which is being, like, the 10th person to enter a 10-way formation, or just to complete the skydive, and all these other things that the president of the region in Texas that I was at, Chuck Akers, super fantastic guy. If you ever get to run into him, super wonderful guy. But apparently, and I told one of the nurses, I said, hey, your one job is to tell me a joke before I leave the hospital. She comes up, she goes, how do you make a tissue dance? And she goes, put a little boogie in it. And honestly, that was probably the highlight of the whole hospital visit. And then, you know, I get into my room and I couldn't sleep because there was some guy fumes down that was just screaming bloody murder all night. And I was like, you know, what is this? Get me out of here. So I stayed up all night, and then I was out of the hospital the next morning. I crawled out of the hospital bed, got on my crutches, and I crutched to the little front desk on my floor, and I was like, okay. I was like, you need to get me out of here. Called one of my fun jumper friends named Matt Pallison, and he picked me up from the airport. And then from there, my parents drove 8 hours all the way to College Station just to come pick me up and take me home.
How disappointed were they?
You know,
good start.
They weren't so disappointed just because my parents, you know, of course, like any parents would, they just want the best for their children and want you to be safe. You know, I don't think they were And their mindset was, oh, I'm disappointed in my son for hurting himself just because of the passion that I've told him that I had for skydiving and just the commitment that I've had for those first 2 years starting skydiving, working full time. You know, I think they realized the actual passion I carried for the sport, and they were just mainly there just to make sure that I was okay and that I was going to be taken care of until my recovery was over with.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, so what you're into breaking?
So I didn't break, well, I did technically break something. So I dislocated and fractured my right hip. The fracture was probably about 2 inches long on the back side of my hip. Thankfully, one night I was just laying in bed, I woke up in the middle of the night in a whole bunch of pain, and I just started rubbing where the dislocation was, and I felt the pop. And so the next day we went to the doctor and got an x-ray, and the doctor said I actually reseated my fracture. And
nice.
So thankfully now I really don't have any pains or any problems with my hip for now.
Attaboy. When in doubt, do it yourself.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, hell, I might need to go check out a doctor. I got some bad bone bruising from a bad landing.
We'll
get in that in another episode.
Yeah, let's save that for the next one.
But yeah, definitely, if I can give you information, don't do low turns. Listen to your instructors. Listen to the information they give you, because they also want the best for you. They don't want to see you get hurt, especially with all the time that all of them have in the sport and all the things they've actually seen. Definitely listen to all of them. Their information is greater than the information you tell yourself.
All right. So before we end our episode, let's talk a little bit more.
Let's give a little foreshadowing for something to come.
Yeah, so let's talk about some of the other boogies that are around the U.S. before we get into it. There's this Fitzgerald one that we're doing.
Yes, sir.
There's the Dallas one, like Ryan was talking about. There's Z Hills.
Yes, sir. That's the turkey boogie.
Right. What other boogies are out there?
That might be an Admiral Byrd question. Because, you know, wasn't until like this earlier this month where we were like, oh, there's going to be a boogie in South Georgia. Like,
yeah, for okay. Us, it's definitely new.
I want to say for the most part, most major drop zones typically will try and have their own boogies, whether it's big or small, just for the local communities or for the general masses to come out and join.
Like, there's going to be Bama Fest, Alabama Fest.
Yeah.
That's going to be one.
I would say, like, being in Texas, I know Skydive Houston has had boogies, Skydive Spaceland San Marcos, Spaceland Dallas in Texas as well. Those are the main boogies I've kind of participated in.
What about Chicagoland? Don't they have a boogie?
Yeah, they usually have a boogie once a year or
yeah,
so, right?
I believe they've got the Independence boogie.
Oh, yeah. And I'm actually going to be going up with Matt to Philly July 4th. Yeah, there's going to be a boogie there. So that's going to be like a 4th of July boogie up at Philly. That's going to be amazing. It's going to be at that New Jersey drop zone.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. And
then we got
Burning Sky. Yeah, this is something we've really focused in on and something that we're really going to be working on getting to.
Yeah, so Farrell, Jacob, and I, Farrell's done it once before already, but he didn't jump when he did it. He was just there at Burning Man. But the three of us this year have decided that we really, really want to get to Burning Man, and we want to do the Burning Sky.
Yeah, so could you give a quick run over what Burning Man is, or you want me to?
I'd rather you do it. It's more up your alley.
So Burning Man is just a big survival party out in the desert.
In the fucking middle of the damn desert.
Yeah, so it's just like this big commune of communities and tents and projects and workshops, and everyone's doing their own thing. Everyone has huge personalities, and, you know, it's just like you're surviving out in the desert. You know, it's focusing on like community, art, you know, there's this like huge self-reliance that comes with it. Because you have to fucking survive in the desert, which gets, you know, 20 degrees and it gets to like really hot in the end of the day. But, you know, so you have to kind of survive. You got to trade with people. Yeah. So you might run out of water. You're like, fuck, I don't have water. What am I going to do? You got to go trade with someone. You might get some treats, you might get some special, you know, candy, you trade with someone for some water, or, you know, you maybe you have drinks, You know, you have alcoholic drinks, trade some alcoholic drinks for some water. It's all just like a little adventure. But then, you know, you get into the skydiving aspect of that, right. Burning Sky, which is its own camp at Burning Man. You know, you have to pre-register and you have to have at least 150 jumps to do it, because it is a very extreme jump.
Yeah.
When you're in the desert like that, it's almost like you're jumping a smaller canopy.
Right, because, the air is less condensed. Why don't you tell us a little bit, Ryan, since you've jumped in Texas.
Yeah, so basically, like, whenever you're traveling to a new location to jump, most likely the air density altitude is definitely going to change. So, like, say you go to Colorado, and say you're currently flying a 150 square foot parachute. When you go to Colorado, let's say, the ground elevation is going to change, and that 150 is now going to start flying like a 120 or a 109 square foot parachute. So you definitely kind of want to have the knowledge and comfort with the canopy you're flying. If not, just make the decision to fly a bigger canopy on that day just for a safer outcome, so you'll have the exact same landing as you would on the canopy you typically fly.
Yeah, and it's, especially with Burning Sky, you know, it's really extreme. So you're landing in a desert. You're landing, like, in the middle. So it's a big arch, kind of looking the same thing with the campsite. You know, it's just big arch, and you're landing right in the center. And, you know, I know Kyler, he wants to wear his, like, Jesus outfit. So he's going to be Jesus flying in from the sky, coming back for redemption.
We had a Halloween
sword
party.
Sword for a tongue, you know.
We had this Halloween party this past year at Justin's.
It's a Halloween party. That was great.
I dressed up as Jesus for it, and I brought cornbread and everything.
Nah, but I want to do the same thing. I want to wear robes. Apparently, you know, when you land, everyone's like, you know, they're kind of out of it, you know.
Yeah, I've heard people, like, are running up to you and they're hugging you and they're, like, giving you kisses on the cheek and shit.
Because you're just flying out of the sky, you're a god, and you're landing right in front of them, and they're just like, it blows their brain, because their brain is already working differently.
I think that's probably a good place for us to kind of switch gears. We talked a little bit, you know, about what a boogie is. We talked about what we're wanting to do here soon, especially next weekend.
And we're going to be having an episode coming up sometime in the future that's going to really heavily go into that Burning Man and Burning Sky experience.
Yeah. We got to hear a little bit of Ryan's story, especially with his deep impact.
Ooh, boo.
You know, we talked about a few of the other boogies that are around the U.S. There's definitely more out there, but, you know, that's for another episode.
Well, one thing. How are you going to find out about these boogies?
I'd say start with asking other skydivers. Ask more experienced people. Check
Facebook forums, Drop Zone.
Right, exactly. There's lots of different forums out there for skydivers where you can find out this stuff. And, you know, ask the people around your DZ. Ask the more experienced ones, because they're going to know, because they've met people all over. But I believe Jacob has a shout-out.
Yeah, so when I first came to the Chattanooga Skydiving Company, I started working in the manifest office. And then after a while, kind of things changed around, and eventually I got into the video room. So the person who trained me how to do video editing and how to edit videos for skydivers was Kayla Jenkins. That's Wizard's wife.
Yep.
And so proud of her. She just did her first AFF job.
Yeah, she just started. So awesome to see.
It was so awesome. And I'm so proud of her. You know, she went to the wind tunnel, worked so hard. She just went back to the wind tunnel with Wizard. You know, they're working really hard. She's going to be a shredder. She's going to be great one day. And she already is doing really well. So, especially on her first AFF jump. But I want to give her a shout out. So if you want to check out her Instagram, she already has posts and pictures of it all. It's KAYJENXX. So that's Kayla B. Jenkins, KAYJENXX. Please check out her Instagram. She's going to be posting more skydiving stuff. She has great content. She's an amazing person. Really, really just
And give
amazing.
Her some encouragement, you know, now that she's starting AFF and whatnot and really
we can all use
jumping.
It.
Yeah, everybody can use some more encouragement when they're jumping, because we all went through or are still going through the same things as skydivers, you know, and it's all about the community of it and bettering everybody. So give her a shout out, you know, give her some encouragement. All good stuff.
Absolutely. Well, you know, that's probably where we're going to call it for today. Yeah. We touched on some amazing things. I, again, just want to shout out again. Please check out our social media. Check out our Patreon. Yep. You don't even have to be a part of it. Just check us out. Check us out. Our videos. Yep. Yep. We're trying to post content every day.
Give us a follow. Share us with some of your other friends that you know in the skydiving community. Even if they're not in the skydiving community, they think about it, you know? Send them to our first episode, Door Monster.
Yeah, or any of our episodes. License to Liberation is another good one.
Yeah, yeah. So give us a follow, share us out.
Especially if you think it will help liberate them and their lives. Absolutely. You know?
I'd like to thank Admiral Byrd here for coming out with us again. Always great to have you, brother.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thank y'all having me for tonight's podcast. Greatly appreciate it. Byrd out. Ka-ka!
What the fuck was that? You heard you must have got shot.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not feeling it.
All right, guys. Well, this is the Splash Bros. I'm Kyler.
I'm Jacob Patty.
We're here with Admiral Byrd and Drew Beach. Again, come out and jump with us at Chattanooga Skydiving Company. We're there. We're going to be there tomorrow.
Absolutely. So on Saturday.
Yeah, we're there on the weekends right now. We're jumping. You know, come out and see us. Message us before you want to come out, or you know, if you want us to come to your drop zone, send us a message. Just say hey, give us a shout out. You know, we're there and we'd love to talk.
Hell, you talk to us, we'll jump with you. Reach out to us.
Absolutely, reach out to us. Thanks again for listening in.
And one last thing, our email, if you're interested in emailing us.
Yeah, email us.
It's skydiveliberation@gmail.com.
Right.
Hit us up if you have any questions or you want to reach out and you want to work together.
Yeah, guys. Thanks again for another awesome episode, and we'll see you guys next time.
Love you guys.